They'll be facing off against all the big teams from all the other conferences and the nationals.
Want to be a CITR sports broadcaster? Looking for a cool way to get involved in UBC sports? Then email sports101@citr.ca or come by our station in the Nest to find out more. See you soon.
Have you heard?
It's all the rage.
The wit, the sense, the jokes.
I chortled.
I guffawed.
I laughed until I choked.
Put down your cell phone, turn off the Xbox, just for a short while, and join us for something your great-grandmother might have laughed at, or perhaps blushed at. From famous authors to long-lost gems, Edwardian Entertainments explores the short stories of a past century, wherever they may be found. Tonight, we bring you a tale from the pen of Saki, H.H. Munro, called The Occasional Garden.
Talk to me about town gardens, which means, of course, that I want you to listen to me for an hour or so while I talk about nothing else.
You've got a perfectly lovely garden.
And such a nice size.
Oh, don't. Everyone says it's a nice size, but as a matter of fact, the size is all against it. It's too large to be ignored altogether and treated as a yard, and it's too small to keep giraffes in.
Giraffes?
You see, if we could keep giraffes or reindeer or some other species of browsing animal there, we could explain the general absence of vegetation by reference to the fauna of the garden. You can't have wapiti and Darwin tulips, you know, so we didn't put down any bulbs last year.
What on earth is a wapiti?
Sounds like a South Sea island.
As it is, we haven't got the wapiti, and the Darwin tulips haven't survived. Oh, all the cats in the neighborhood hold a parliament in the center of my poor tulip bed, and that rather forlorn-looking strip that we intended to be a border of alternating geranium and spirea has been utilized by the current regime as a division lobby.
A caucus of cats?
I shouldn't object so much to ordinary cats, but vegetarian cats are simply too much.
They're not?
How would one know?
They must be vegetarians, my dear, because whatever ravages they may commit among the sweet pea seedlings, they never seem to touch the sparrows.
Oh, dear.
The one consoling point about our garden is that it's not visible from the drawing room or the smoking room. So unless people are dining or lunching with us, they can't spy out the nakedness of the land.
Small mercies.
And then, yesterday, you'll never guess what happened.
What?
Gwenda Pottingdon.
Oh, no.
Who?
Oh, my poor dear.
Who or what is a Gwenda,
Pottingdon. Oh, she's one of those who is simply the best.
Best? At what?
Everything.
She heard me offer the Polcott girl lunch if she happened to be up shopping next Wednesday, and of course, Gwenda asked if she might come along too.
Whatever will you do?
Perhaps a strategic illness.
She knows me too well.
I still don't see.
Gwenda is only coming to gloat over my bedraggled and flowerless borders and to sing the praises of her own detestably over-cultivated garden. I'm sick of being told that it's the envy of the neighborhood.
Just like everything else that belongs to her. Her car, her dinner parties.
Even her headaches.
They are all superlative.
No one else ever had anything like them.
And now she's coming on purpose to stare at my few miserable pansies and the gaps in my sweet pea border and to give me a glowing, full-length description of the rare and sumptuous blooms in her rose garden.
My dear Eleanor, you would save yourself all this heart-burning and a lot of gardener's bills, not to mention sparrow anxieties, simply by paying an annual subscription to the OOSA.
I've never heard of it.
What is it?
The Occasional Oasis Supply Association.
The occasional what?
Oasis. It exists to meet cases exactly like yours. Cases of backyards that are of no practical use for gardening purposes, but are required to blossom into decorative scenic backgrounds at stated intervals when a luncheon or a dinner party is contemplated.
And how does one join?
Supposing, for instance, you have people coming to lunch at 1:30. You just ring up the association at about 10 o'clock the same morning and say, Lunch Garden.
Yes?
By 12:45, your yard is carpeted with a strip of velvety turf, with a hedge of lilac or red may, or whatever happens to be in season. As a background, one or two cherry trees in blossom, and clumps of heavily flowered rhododendrons filling in the odd corners. In the foreground, you have a blaze of carnations or Shirley poppies or tiger lilies in full bloom.
Oh, I love Shirley poppies.
As soon as the lunch is over and your guests have departed, the garden departs also. And all the cats in Christendom can sit in council in your yard without causing you a moment's anxiety.
Oh, if only.
Ah, but you see, that's not all.
It's not?
If you have a bishop or an antiquary or something of that sort coming to lunch, you just mention the fact when you are ordering the garden. And you get an old-world pleasance, with clipped yew hedges and a sundial and hollyhocks, and perhaps a mulberry tree, and borders of sweet williams and Canterbury bells, and an old-fashioned beehive or two tucked away in the corner.
I have an uncle like that.
Of course, these are the only ordinary lines of supply that the Oasis Association undertakes. But by paying a few guineas a year extra, you are entitled to its emergency EON service.
What on earth is an EON service?
It's just a conventional signal to indicate special cases, like the incursion of your Gwenda Pottingdon.
Oh.
It means you've got someone coming to lunch or dinner whose garden is alleged to be the envy of the neighbourhood.
Better than the beehive.
I have a second cousin like that.
And what happens then?
What happens? Something that sounds like a miracle out of the Arabian Nights. Your backyard becomes voluptuous with pomegranate and almond trees, lemon groves, and hedges of flowering cactus, dazzling banks of azaleas, marble basined fountains in which chestnut and white pond herons step daintily amid exotic water lilies, while golden pheasants strut about on alabaster terraces.
But I haven't an alabaster terrace to my name.
All part of the service.
It's a great deal of work.
After all that, if there is any kick left in Gwenda Pottingdon, or whoever your EON guest of the moment may be, just mention carelessly that your climbing putella is the only one in England since the one at Chatsworth died last winter.
Climbing putella? How do you spell that?
Oh, don't fret. There isn't such a thing as a climbing putella. But Gwenda Pottingdon and her kind don't usually know one flower from another without prompting.
Ooh, quick! The address of the association.
Delicious luncheon.
Thank you.
So, how did your Gwenda encounter go?
Splendidly. From the moment she arrived, I could see she had prepared a long succession of eulogistic comments on the wonders of her town garden, with its unrivaled effects of horticultural magnificence. And behold...
Yes?
Her theme was closed in on every side by the luxuriant hedge of Siberian berberis that the OOSA brought in.
Did you get herons?
The herons were already spoken for. I had to settle for a pagoda-like enclosure where Japanese sand badgers disported themselves.
There is certainly something to be said for sand badgers.
And, of course, the pond full of exotic carp. It was quite a wonder.
What did she say about it all?
I can't say I admire the climbing patella. And anyway, it's not the only one of its kind in England. I happen to know of one in Hampshire. Altogether, it was one of my most successful luncheon parties. Linda!
So sorry to burst in like this, but I felt I must tell you that my Elaine has had a watercolor sketch accepted by the Latent Talent Art Guild. It's to be exhibited at their summer exhibition at the Hackney Gallery. It will be the sensation of the moment in the art world. Hello? What on earth has happened to your garden?
Oh, whatever do you mean?
Your beautiful garden? Why, it's not there.
Oh, goodness. Suffragettes.
Suffragettes?
Oh? Oh, yes. Didn't you hear about it? They broke in and made hay of the whole thing in about 10 minutes. I was so heartbroken at the havoc that I had the whole place cleared out.
What a terrible tragedy. It was lovely.
Oh, I was quite tired of it. Simply old hat. I shall have it laid out again on rather more elaborate lines.
Oh? I see. You came to tell me something? Nothing. I'm sure I should leave you.
And that is what I call having an emergency brain.
Separate ways, but we'll be here
again next month.
Let's call it a date.
The Occasional Garden was produced by James Sedgwick of Scattered Sounds Productions, adapted by Julie Hoverson from the story by Saki H.H. Monroe. In this production, Eleanor Rapsley was Jennifer Dixon, the Baroness was Judith Moore, Teresa was Alexa Chipman, Sarah was Fiona Thrail, and Gwenda was Julie Hoverson. Music for this episode was from amclassical.com. Cover art by Julie Hoverson.
The opening and closing credits used the music of The Entertainer by Scott Joplin, available through amclassical.com, and the opening voices included Glenn Hallstrom, Tanya Milayevich, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard, Lothar Tuppen, Julie Hoverson, and Carrie Ayers. Russell Gold was the announcer. This is distributed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike Non-Commercial Clauses. Feel free to pass it around, but don't try to make money on it. This is copyright 2011 to Julie Hoverson and Reality Productions.
Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Once upon a time, there was a devil. A handsome, charismatic, charming, intelligent, witty. Oh, I could go on and on. For hundreds of years, he feasted on souls, advanced the causes of evil, served his own whims and needs. Then one day, he got caught up in a battle for all creation, and somehow ended up saving it. That's when things got rubbish. Really rubbish.
Over here!
Coming! Mind your head, Eve.
Mind my head on the evil flying pixies or the midget with the broomstick?
Hey!
Not you! The actual midget with the broomstick!
That's me. Okay, I got it.
Can we get a move on, please? A gnome just vomited down my back.
Right, we need to grab that spell book.
The one on the pedestal?
With the sparkly light around it, yeah.
Mind the arch!
Isn't that an ogre? Does it matter?
Oh no, it's an orc.
How can you even tell?
Because that's an ogre.
Grab the damn book!
Wait! This is a little easy, don't you think?
You got this easy?
Come on, we land the cloud slab bang in the center of an afterlife and jump straight to the end. Isn't this the sort of thing that is normally preceded by a long, drawn-out series of obstacles?
You don't think we deserve a break?
Yes, I do, and I'm worried in case it's me that gets broken.
Would somebody just grab the damn book? Got it!
Oh, that probably isn't good.
Somebody take the book! Here!
Don't give it to me! I don't want anything to do with...
You have chosen unwisely! You shall have everything taken away from you!
What? Me? Didn't even want this stupid thing. That's just rude. Yeah. What? Did someone put me in a tin? Armor. I'm like a bloody turtle here.
Please, sir, you have to help.
What are you talking about, girl?
She took away everything.
Yes, she said she'd do something like that.
And now, my people are doomed.
You're what? What are you rabbiting on about?
It's here! The griffin, sent by the witch. She's taken everything else. Now she wants our lives.
Eve, are you feeling all right?
Please, Sir Knight, you must save us. It'll destroy the village. All of us! Mama! And me!
Oh. Did you just faint?
And that was the moment the brave knight knew what he had to do.
Oh, hell. Not a narrator.
After the love, after the love, my mind, my heart can't think, I sound. Every thought has locked, every hand has locked. The moment after.
seven gods. Ugh.
The knight entered the village with the victory of battle still surging through his veins.
You can shut up as well.
You were awe-inspiring, sir.
Up yours. Let's just find the others before I feel the need to stick this sword through my head. What's this? Something lying on the ground. It's a doll.
Perhaps one of the children from the village dropped it.
Ugly looking thing. Sort of blank. Oh well, let's get the heroic welcome out of the way. Oh!
All the people of Riverside Village have left their homes to honor the knight who had saved them.
Riverside Village? That's the best you could come up with. Why didn't you go the whole hog and call it Mudhole under a couple of trees?
We is mighty gratified, sir. You have saved us from the terrible Griffon.
I was there, you know.
And now you must go on a quest.
What?
Quest? To save the old land from the terrible witch.
And the knight, though he felt great fear in his breast,
and there's nothing wrong with my breast,
decided to help the poor villagers and save all the land.
No, he didn't.
I will aid you, sir. I shall cut my hair and pose as a boy, your page.
Oh, and I'm sure nobody whatsoever will guess you're a girl. Those egg cups are a bit of a giveaway, you know.
Well, actually, Sir Knight, there is many of the male persuasion round these parts who have the lady bumps. My Uncle Vera, for one.
Right, that's it. So it's going right through the face.
First, you must visit the mad hermit who lives in the Forgotten Cave.
The Forgotten... If it was forgotten, how could you possibly know about it?
It lies north.
And which way is that?
No.
Brilliant!
There! With my locks thus shorn, none shall be able to distinguish that I am, in point of fact, a maiden!
You look like one of those cat ladies. The ones that get stood up on a wedding day.
Come, Sir Knight! To the north!
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 To the south!
The north. Sorry. We've not had me at breakfast yet. North.
And so the brave knight set off.
A soundtrack. Of course I have a soundtrack. I'm getting a headache. So this is a forgotten cave, is it?
Aye, Sir Knight.
Nice place. I'll need to remember it. Not even a chuckle.
They say the mad hermit has lived here his whole wretched life.
Who's they?
You know, they.
No, I don't know. Who exactly?
People.
Right, well that's cleared up. I swear this is the last time I go wandering into an afterlife with these gang of idiots. How you've all avoided the graveyards this long, eh?
Wait, sir!
What?
We must show caution. They say he is quite mad, the mad hermit.
It would explain the name, certainly.
They say he was an outcast from his home, hideously disfigured, and he traded his soul for dark arts.
Sounds like my kind of chap. Come on.
They say he is 10 feet tall, and his breath can scorch the very mountains. He is...
standing right in front of us, and it's Dave.
Careful, sir!
Relax, girl. Just old Dave. I see you've been given a role in this fast then, Halo boy. Glad we ran into you. You can take over the job of leading from the front, and I'll settle back into my usual role of passenger seat sarcasm. What are you doing, speak, you idiot?
Beware, sir! The fiery breath!
Oh, shut up, Dave!
You best lead on, it's safe to say, since I can't keep my rhymes at bay.
Oh! What?
In my role as mad advisor, I speak in rhyme. It just sounds wiser. Shut up, Barry, it's not funny. Just play it out until we're done-y. Damn!
Done-y.
Hardly as frightening as the stories make out, is he?
At least I know who you are. It's quite 8 years driving me up the wall.
Even in this magic place, we're members of a higher race. Though you and I may travel far, we'll always know just who we are.
Maybe this won't be so bad after all. Come on then, Vanilla Ice.
And so the company became three, and they set off once more on a quest.
I thought you'd gone.
No, Grumpy Pants.
What?
Nothing.
Wonderful. A gender-confused girl. A self-aware narrator and advisor with rhyming Tourette's. My best day ever.
Come, sir. I think I know a place where we can gather our strength and seek information.
I can hardly wait.
Headed into before continuing. Look before you leap, Sir Knight.
Oh, better still get some nice mountaineering gear and we avoid the leap altogether. Then we just move on.
Beware!
What do you...
Beware!
Done, are you?
Yes.
Good, get out of the way.
You are in grave danger, Sir Knight.
I'm not the one standing in an irritated devil's way.
Please, Sir Knight, still thy tongue. The aged elder is a soothsayer. She may have knowledge of the future most mysterious.
And you think that's a fair trade for soap? Right, you old tramp, what do you want to say?
Beware the choice!
That's it, is it?
Beware the choice, brave knight, for in it lies all your hope and destiny.
Do you know you're getting a moustache? And you only have one shoe.
Remember, Sir Knight. Remember.
Well, I feel much more informed now. Thank you. Tell me just... Oh, no, who is this now?
Bonjour, Sir Knight. I am Folly the Jester. Mad as an adder, I am mad, like a bucket of frogs. Let's play a game. Where's the ball? This cup? This one? No. You can't outsmart old Folly. Mad I am. Mad. Bell casting. M-A-D.
Was that entirely necessary, Sir Knight?
You're right. I should stamp on him to make sure.
Oof! Ouchie, ouchie!
Perhaps we should venture on. Our destination is the building yonder. Come now, dusk is approaching.
You could have been more help.
This is your story, clear to see. I'll keep my peace until we're free.
Thank you ever so much.
Flasks of yellow! Buy your flasks of yellow!
Pixies, tears! Only the finest pixie tears here, my dear, for you, little pixie.
In a jar. Tuesday in a jar. That's right, it's a jar. With Tuesday. Tuesday in a jar. Tuesday.
What's up? Two for a bone. Two for a bone.
This is the Story Pub. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Did you steal that from somewhere?
Someone here will be able to put us on the right track. Let's try that bartender.
Hello, my lover. What can I do you for? Pint, stew, nice bit of Snow White.
Snow White? That can't be right.
Oh, yes. She keeps the place through the back. She don't just do dwarfs. All kinds welcome. Even funny little ones like yourselves.
We're looking for some info, seeking out a snitch. Any information you might have upon the witch.
We don't speak of her in this pub. I think you should leave before I get old Samson to give you the boot.
Samson?
That'll be the one who looks like he goes through a lot of conditioner. And protein shakes.
Oh,
let me, Dave. It takes you a week to get out a single sentence. Listen here, woman. Either tell us what we want to know or there'll be trouble. Understand?
Ow.
Nighting came rather quickly, didn't it?
Subtle, Barry. Much applause. I just loved it when he kicked my ball.
Perhaps you did not adopt the best approach, Sir Knight.
I didn't see you helping much. If you'd brought those shears you were so handy with before, I could have taken Vidal Sassoon in there.
So, I hear you're looking to find the witch.
Boyce spoke out in the night, and the company was shocked to discover a red-cloaked figure waiting for them in the darkness.
Sal?
Name's Red, Riding Hood.
Riding figures. And you're going to help us, I presume?
For a price. And what would that be? Just so happens I've been looking for a way through the haunted forest myself. The witch's castle lies on the other side.
What's getting in your way?
You didn't...
I'm unafraid to say, damn!
I have a wolf problem.
Let me guess. It's big and bad.
Like most good things, but this one has teeth, sharp teeth.
So we protect you from a wolf and you get us through the forest.
That's the deal.
How about instead, you just remember that your name is Sal. You're already a member of this ragtag group of idiots, and if you don't help us, you're never getting out of this irritating little afterlife.
I don't understand.
Well, the odds weren't great. All right, let's go find your wolf.
Careful, Barry, not too hasty. I, for one, look far too tasty.
Really? Because you're making me nauseous.
At first, that narrator made me smile, but he does get annoying after a while.
You should hear him when I'm peeing.
I told you I was not looking.
Show caution. There are creatures abroad lurking in the darkness.
Well, if they've all gone abroad, we shouldn't have much to worry about. Wait, what's that?
Where?
In the bush. It's... Oh, it's another doll. Looks just like the one we found before.
Lots of children go missing in this forest.
Still... It's a bit strange.
What was that?
Your standard scary-sounding bird. If I find the soul who created this afterlife, we're going to have a long talk about plagiarism.
Look!
What now?
Ahead! Is that... the wolf?
Yes. Ah! Oh, don't be such an idiot. It's a log. How many wolves do you know that have moss growing on them?
That big lump of hair and teeth sitting on the road, though.
Yes, that does look much more like a wolf. It's the wolf, isn't it?
Sure is.
Right, well, run! Run!
Hey now, shouting run's my line. You know I say it all the time.
Can we argue about it later? Preferably when we're not being chased.
Sir Knight, there's a house ahead.
It's not made of gingerbread, is it?
No.
Good, inside.
You said you'd save me from the wolf!
That was before I knew it was the size of a truck.
But this is not part of the deal!
Neither was picking you up and throwing you inside the cottage, but there you go.
What?
Try to land on something soft. Stay out here, Fido!
I'm rather worried, all being told. I doubt much that that door will hold.
Sir Knight? Should we not be constructing a plan rather than eating?
I'm starved, girl. Besides, if the wolf breaks through, I know I can outrun little red tiny legs here.
You are the worst hero I have ever met.
And the knight grew sad, for he knew the truth of it.
See? Even your narrator thinks you're a disappointment.
And I'm cut up about it. Honestly, I just hide it well.
I'm going to look for a way out upstairs. Somebody needs to do something.
Ugh. Ah, porridge. I wonder if there's any booze in the cupboard. Maybe some meat.
Ah! Don't eat me!
Gyra, what the hell were you doing in that cupboard?
Hiding?
From who?
No, you didn't!
Didn't what?
Eat the porridge.
It wasn't that bad. A bit bland.
And you're sitting in the chair?
I got in a fight, bit of a botch. Left me nursing a delicate crotch.
Tell me you left the beds alone.
Well, Riding Hood went upstairs.
You'll upset them.
Who?
The bears! Three bears! Wolf!
It's getting like the Discovery Channel in here. Back door, fighty fighty. There's a good bunch of dumb beasts.
Beyond the cottage, the forest gave way to the hill, most steep, and the hour was now very late. Soon the party found themselves exhausted.
Oh, Belltop, you sanctimonious git! What does that mean anyway? The forest gave way to a hill. Oh, look, I am a forest. Normally I just spread and spread and spread, but I think I'll be polite and give way to this hill. Absolute tosh.
It's called a metaphor.
It's called a cliché. Now shut your insubstantial hole.
I do not think we were pursued.
Oh, this hill will do fine for a rest.
It's nice and high, surroundings in sight. We'll probably be safe here, if just for a night.
I'll take first watch.
Of course you will.
I didn't think to pack any blankets.
Good thing I did think to save some of that meat. What? No comment from my disappointed narrator? Must be a half. Things are looking up.
Have you fine folks been traveling together long?
Too damn long. I swear, Dave, that day you stopped by my hell for a mass was the worst of my entire life.
Hell?
Yes, girl, you've been there. Not that you remember. I mean, what is it with you lot? You get more cases of amnesia than a head injury ward.
I gave you the chance to leave my crew, but the end decision lay with you.
And look how well that decision's turned out.
But you look wonderful in your armor. A proper hero.
The one thing I never wanted to be.
If you're looking for sympathy, try again later. I never asked you to turn me a traitor.
You made that decision yourself. With me, I just tried to save my own skin and somehow ended up on the good side.
But surely that's all anyone wants.
You ever heard the story of the scorpion and the toad?
No. Is it a fun tale for the campfire? I don't really sleep well.
Scorpion asks a toad for a lift across a river. Toad says no, because the scorpion will sting and kill it. Scorpion says it won't. Why would it? They'd both die.
So they team up and get across together. That's wonderful. It's like us, one big happy team.
No. The scorpion does sting the toad.
He takes the ride and then stings him anyway? That's horrible.
Worse than that, the scorpion stings the toad halfway across, and then they both drown.
But why?
That's exactly the question the toad asks. And just before they go under the water, the scorpion answers.
Because it's in my nature.
After many miles and terrible dangers, the questers found themselves at the Swamp of Sadness. A horrible place that had taken the lives of many an adventurer.
That sounds promising. Any ideas, Kyra? Kyra! Goldilocks!
Yes? Goldilocks? More like brownie roots.
I've never been this far from the forest. Normally, I just break into whatever house I pass by and stay there until the owners throw me out. It's stressful.
You're a squatter.
Sorry?
Ugh. Dave?
The witch's tower lies to the west. We'd best move on and fix this mess.
You know, it really is wonderful that you can provide any useful advice unless it rhymes.
I shall take the first step forth, Sir Knight.
Those reeds are taller than you are. You'd be up to your cat lady hair with swamp water in no time. Looks like it's up to me. Again.
Oh, I feel in such safe hands.
You're free to go back and find your wolf anytime.
It might not be important, not even sure you care. But unless I'm very much mistaken, there's another doll out there.
I see it, floating in the swamp. They're all over the place. Odd. Oh well, here goes. This isn't so bad. We can probably just... I'm never drinking again. Someone bring me up. Oh, where have I ended up now? Oh, that's high.
Yes, nests generally are.
What? A giant bird.
Eagle, if you please.
I suppose you were the one who pinned me out of the swamp.
Oh, yes, no need to thank me. I do it rather a lot, you know.
You have a name?
Ernie.
Ernie the Eagle.
Indeed.
Ernie. The Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's been fun, Ernie, old pal, but I should be going. I'm a great hero, you know.
You don't look like a hero.
I have my own narrator and everything.
Well, I don't hear any narrator.
He's sulking.
Well, I'll just have to take your word for it. All the same, you should stay. I know this rather splendid card game. It really is very... Ah! Why did you hit me?
You're not feeding me to your chicks.
What chicks?
In the eggs.
I don't have any eggs. I'm a male.
Then I suppose Mrs. Eagle is out for the day.
I tell you, I don't have any eggs.
Behind you.
Those aren't eggs.
Really?
Yes, they're... rocks.
One has a crack.
Delicate rocks.
Come any closer and I'll break your beak.
My babies need to eat.
Then call the wife and tell her to pick up some Chinese on the way home.
And with that, the mighty bird leapt at the brave knight, mocking him from the lofty perch. Down and down they went, trading blows as they fell. For a time it appeared the knight was doomed to break upon the harsh rocks below. When he struck a stunning blow, snapping the beast's neck, he wrenched the feathers from its wings and floated down to safety. Victorious! Magnificent! Heroic!
That should never have worked. This place is ridiculous.
And then the knight grew sad.
Will you stop saying that?
For he missed his companions greatly.
I do not, the morons.
And knew he must hurry to the witch's tower to rescue not only his companions, but the entire land.
Hang on. They've been captured.
Yes.
And how exactly do you know that?
I'm the narrator.
Stupid convenient plot device, more like. When this is done, I'm not leaving my bed for a week. Almost tripped there. What? Another doll? Why are these things abandoned all over the place? I wonder.
You, have an idea?
Possibly.
Goody.
Try not to burst with excitement now. Gates, about time. How do I get in? What are you supposed to be?
I am the gnome what guards the doors of the tower. You must answer me a riddle to gain entrance.
Or what?
Or you shall not gain entrance.
And how exactly will you stop me?
Answer incorrectly, and I shall transform into an enormous gargoyle, terrible and fierce. None have bested me in that form.
So, let me get this straight. If I answer your riddle correctly, I get in.
Indeed.
But if I answer incorrectly, you turn into a huge gargoyle and stamp on me.
Quite. I draw the legendary stone magic from the earth. I metamorphosis. And all cower before my terrible magnificence.
Well, then what about option three?
Sorry?
The one where I lift you up and hang you on this window so you can't pull your big, changey, magic-y stone out of the ground.
No! Get off! Pow!
Well?
Any chance of letting me down?
You, haven't changed into anything terribly magnificent, I notice.
Well, no. I do, actually, have to be touching the ground. That was very clever of you.
Good.
Me here? Oh, not fair. What kind of hero doesn't even listen to the riddle? It's a good one. The answer is an elf's banana. Hello? Oh, I said this would be a bad career move, but no. I had to leave the garden fishing business. I wanted more responsibility. Honestly. You can sod off and all.
And the knight found himself faced with all the monstrous hordes the witch could muster, standing between him and his prize. His heart grew much afeared, for he would surely die under the onslaught of such a host.
Right. Time to make your disembodied self useful.
Beg your pardon?
Do that thing where you narrate me overcoming great odds so we can jump to the end, like with the bird.
I only ever do that to cover dull moments. And large plot holes. This is the climax. I couldn't possibly...
Do it, or I'm joining their side. I mean it.
You wouldn't.
Just watch me. You'll never get to say happily ever after again. You'll be too busy narrating while I juggle puppies over a pond.
Oh, you're just... awful. That would be the end of me.
And do as you're told.
Fine. And so the brave knight fought back the host, slaying one evildoer after another, ascending the great marble staircase, finally coming to the inner sanctum of the witch herself, blah, blah, blah.
No.
What?
I want to kill a dragon as well.
Why?
Because I've never done that before.
Not exactly doing it now. I'm skipping over all of the exciting stuff.
It's a principle. Well, as close to a principle as I get, anyway.
Fine. Mandy killed a dragon on the way. With a fish.
A fish?
I'm not changing it.
Right. Inner Sanctum. Time to finish this.
And as he entered the sanctum, he found the witch waiting for him. Around her, four golden cages hung, and within each cage, a single companion was imprisoned.
Ah, Sir Knight! Welcome!
I'll stop you there. If you think about it, I'm really not, am I?
Of what do you speak?
I'm not welcome, am I? If I was, you'd have a drink out for me, maybe some food. What you mean to say is, ah, Sir Knight! I really want you to lose, so I'm going to do something ridiculously elaborate to test you, probably involving a moral choice of some kind.
You may have noticed your friends imprisoned around me.
Yes. Dave looks embarrassed. He's trying to chew through the bars. Kyra's bawling her eyes out at Sal. Well, from this angle, it appears her Red Riding Hood didn't come with matching underwear. Or any underwear, for that matter.
You have a choice to make.
What a surprise. I didn't see that coming at all. It's not like there was a soothsayer warning me all about it right back at the beginning.
You may choose to save one of my prisoners, but only one. Choose wisely, and I will leave this land forever. Choose unwisely, and you shall live only long enough to see the entire world engulf in flame and death.
That would certainly be an improvement. I'm not making any choice, though.
Oh? And what power do you wield that allows you to escape the choice?
Well, that crazy old bat warned me about this earlier. Oh, and they have this.
A child's doll? Do you mock me, Sir Knight?
You see, I keep finding these lying around. At first, I thought it was just to add to the fairy tale feel of the afterlife. But then I realized something. There are no children here. A fairy tale afterlife with no children? A little strange, wouldn't you say?
You will hold your tongue!
A quick lesson in the afterlives. They exist only as long as the souls who created them exist. If those souls end up in the graveyards and move on to another afterlife, the original vanishes. Except in a few rare cases.
I will have silence!
Now here's the clever part. Some afterlives are self-sustaining. They work in cycles, constantly renewing themselves, constantly starting again. And what better example of that is there than the story? Going on forever, from once upon a time to happily ever after. Unless you break the system. And I'm thinking that you, Miss Cackle a lot, are the system.
No more!
The souls of the children are gone, aren't they?
Yes! Gone! To another place! Gathering. They were called away!
And then you in this afterlife are no longer needed. As a higher being, I am ordering you to shut down.
No!
About time. A nice, empty, blank afterlife again.
Finally! That dress was terrible. Nice work, Barry. I'm impressed.
Yeah, didn't think you had it in you. Wish I could have kept the red coat, though.
No!
What?
My hair!
Oh, yeah. You, did that to yourself, so it'll stick, I'm afraid. Still, Cat Lady. It's a look. I'll call the cloud.
Don't forget why we came here in the first place. Any sign of Matthew?
Over here. I think I found something.
It better be worth it. I've had a terrible day.
The wolves are crouching out of sight.
That's the same as before.
Shh, there's more. The wolves are crouching out of sight. The wolves are hiding in the night. The wolves are coming for your life. I think there's supposed to be another line, but it's smudged.
Well, that's cheery.
I don't understand what Matthew's thinking.
If he's thinking at all.
It's supposed to be a message, right? But it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's the point?
Welcome to my world.
Just one more afterlife left on his path?
Yeah, but it's far off. I've got a bit of a distance to travel first.
Can we get out of here now?
Absolutely. Sir Knight.
Sod off.
I loved my hair. It was pretty.
Well, maybe we can find you a wig.
Or a paper bag.
Oh, sleep. Just for a little while.
And the knight rested, safe in the knowledge that, though he would never admit it, being a hero for just one day had given him more joy than he had known in a very, very long time.
To the Justice Committee. I just missed them again, but I'm gaining ground. I would imagine David's knowledge of these fringe afterlives is thin, so he'll find it harder to stay ahead of me. I'll report again soon.
I would have caught them by now.
I didn't give you permission to speak.
You worm! I do not require permission from an underling. I once commanded all armies.
And you, so get back in my mind and...
Wait. A soul watches up.
There are no souls here. The afterlife is blank.
A soul watches up.
Come out. I know you're there. Who are you?
No one. A scout?
A scout for who?
My brothers and sisters. This isn't your business.
I'm making it my business.
ask it where it comes from.
Where are you from, girl?
Far away. This is my afterlife. Until my sister called me. I'm not meant to speak to anyone. Please let me go.
It is the emptiness. We must leave.
Keep quiet. I want to speak to your sister, little girl. Can you contact her?
No, I mustn't.
Listen to me, child. Do you know what this blackness falling upon us is?
Yes, it's oblivion. I don't want to go away, please.
Then you'll summon your sister.
Please don't.
Summon her!
The wolves are crouching out of sight. The wolves are hounds are crouching outside. The wolves are coming, the wolves are hiding.
The wolves are crouching out of sight.
The wolves who live by are coming through the light.
The rules of God. Must leave,
Nathaniel. Keep your peace, old man. They're listening now. Oh, be quick!
Who are you? Why are you so interested in David and his friends?
Perhaps
we can come to an agreement. Hmm?
We're live and we're getting a phone call right away here, so excuse me while I turn that on. Hello, how are you? Hello, you're live on the air. All right, and they've hung up.
Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for Vancouver, right? With your hosts, Alex Biron and Simon Armstrong. News, music, personal stories, and everything you need to know about the local comedy scene. What else would you be doing at 10 a.m. on a Friday? Well, you're probably at work, and if you have the day off, you've already made plans. It doesn't matter. Just be there and call in anytime.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and this is it for Scalds Hall for this week. Coming up, we're going to have Canada Post Rock with John. And so from all of us here in Vancouver, please enjoy your weekend.